And good morning, and thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show with Chris and Susie, and I'm Susie Prez.
And I'm Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris. On this January, Wednesday, January 25th, it's our last January morning show for the year.
For the year.
Or for this year.
We'll be back next January.
Next January. All right.
We think.
Yeah, and we'll be back on next Wednesday, too, February 1st.
Yes, we will.
And so why don't you tell our listeners what's going to happen this morning?
Well, today we are going to be talking with the two brand new county commissioners. It's Jeff Connolly in District 2. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, and nice to see you again, Chris. Thanks.
And Dan McDonald, new commissioner for District 3.
Good morning, Chris and Susie.
And thanks very much for being here. And we got a ton of questions for you, so we're going to get to that in just a moment.
Yep, all things county we'll be talking about today. But before we do that, we have the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, 32 degrees. Today, we can expect about a high of 35 with scattered snow showers, only 30% precipitation. And tonight, low of 25 with a 30% chance of snow showers. And then on Thursday, cloudy, high 32. And Thursday night, chance of flurries, low 25, kind of the same kind of weather, a little soupy out there today. But it's real important to watch the streets because they're still really slippery, even though mm-hmm. you think it's almost spring.
Yep.
But not
little
quite.
Patches of ice out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Good for, you know, ice skates and such. A couple other things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 7:23 a.m. It's noticeably longer days now. It'll set tonight at 4:33 p.m. In the past 7 days, we've gained 18 minutes of daylight per day, so we're marching towards spring. Up at Schweitzer, it's 23 degrees. There's no new snow, but they do have 69 inches at the summit, 44 inches in the village, and the skiing is really quite good. There is a moderate avalanche danger in the Selkirk and Cabinet Mountains, so anybody that is doing backcountry travel should be very careful. And we have a new moon coming on Friday. So
that means the moon, we don't see the moon because
it's dark.
Brand new.
Yeah.
See, and I'm already missing the old moon.
It'll be back too.
Okay.
Yeah. And other things going on around town, Susie. What's the haps?
You know, you tell me, Chris.
Well, here's one thing. A lot of people turned out to see Viggo Mortensen in his new flick, Captain Fantastic, and of course that was a fundraiser for KRFY.
And Team Autism 24/7.
And yesterday he was nominated for a Best Actor award in the Oscars, so that's very cool.
That's very nice. And I think they're looking at the SAG Award, the Screen Actors Guild Award for Ensemble.
Yeah.
That means the cast together as a group, yeah. And all those kids, if you got a chance to see the movie, is really fun.
Yeah, and I think that movie might be available on Netflix.
It is, as a matter of fact. Yeah. That's where
mm-hmm.
I saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was a fun event. The last weekend we had, what were the movies that were at the Banff Film Festival?
The Banff Film Festival, yeah.
Did you go to that?
I did. I tell you what, it's a tough ticket to get if you wait to the last minute. But I was able to finally get tickets to the Thursday show. They were sold out all three nights. It's a huge event here in town.
A big event.
And other things coming up this week, we will circle back to the calendar later in the broadcast, but there's a bike movie night tonight. There's a snowshoe roundup at Western Pleasure on Saturday. There's going to be a Fatty Flurry Festival, a fat tire biking event at Round Lake this weekend. So there'll be plenty of things to talk about. Always a lot going on in our town.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
But for now, let's turn to our two guests. Again, we have with us the new county commissioners, Jeff Connolly and Dan McDonald. And you know what? I see this little talk here as an opportunity for you guys to introduce yourself again to the county, to the listeners here, because you were both unopposed in the general election. And so kind of all the action in your race happened way back last May.
Back in the spring, yeah.
Yeah. So... why don't we start with you, Dan? Give us a little background and tell folks who you are.
Okay. I moved here with my wife and kids back about 21 years ago. My wife's family is all from here, and I always joke that you can't hardly throw a rock in the county without hitting one of them. had the same Long Bridge experience that everyone has that comes from outside the area into the area. Once you go across the Long Bridge, you go, oh, I've got to live here. It took a while to get there. I first came here in 79, so it took a while for us to be able to move here, but have loved it ever since. I was a commercial roof consultant, worked for a company for this most recent company for 21 years. Before that, I ran a big commercial roofing company. So I've got a good business background. Suddenly I had this thought one day that maybe I should try to apply that to the political world. And somehow I talked myself into running for office. I'm still wondering about that.
And wondering about that, what made you to think you want to run for county commissioner? Is it your first time running for something?
First time running for something.
The county, not the city?
Well, I live in the county. So and a lot of my friends live in the county, so I get to hear a lot about county needs. And I have been, you know, I was the president of the PANADA for about 5 years, so there's a lot of things I've done in the community. And this is the hard part about campaigning. You have to blow your own horn and you hate to do it. But I had been really active in community charities as well. And I thought this was a good way to give back. I was nearing the end of my career and I thought I'm too young to retire. I need to do something else. And saw some of the things going on in the county. And I think like most of us, you see things you don't agree with and you go, you know, I think I might be able to have a different or a better idea on that. So I'll give it a shot. And so that's what kind of prompted. And I had some people asking me, but you know, there was a gal, in fact, I met the daughter of a gal last night at a meeting I was attending, and she goes, oh, my mother will be so proud her mother passed because she wanted me to run 8 years ago. And I said, it'll be a cold day in, you know, where before I run for political
in
office. Yeah. And so here
cold
we go.
Cold day in heck. Yeah. And Dan, if you sound very practiced at the microphone, there's a reason for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also do face-to-face on Fridays. Right now, every other Friday.
On KSPT.
On KSPT. Yeah. I've been doing that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
That kind of really got me into politics. I started having to talk about local issues and national issues. And so it got me doing the research, doing the background, and made a big difference.
Yeah. Jeff Connolly, same question to you. Tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in Priest River. 58 years I've lived there, and I was on the city council for 15 years. And I think we were highly successful in getting some things done around there. The one thing that we finally came together as a group and we finally pushed in one motion, and that helps. I think that you get too many factions going too many directions and you just don't accomplish a lot. I think that the county can struggle from that. And I think that hopefully we can, Dan and I work well together. We come from contracting careers. I worked as a contractor for a logging contractor for 39 years. So, and I was ending my career, or it was ending me because it was too tough on me. So this was a good move for me. And, I felt like that there were some improvements that could be made. So anyway, I've lived here my whole life, and I think that I bring what experience I've had, which is the struggles that go along with the folks that are trying to make a living here and trying to survive. Not the people that are coming here that are already, you know, have been successful, but the people that are day to day out there grinding it out, trying to make a living. I think that that's the knowledge that I bring. And I think that with the group we've got with Glenn and Dan and I think we can accomplish a whole lot. That's what my hopes are anyway.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
One quick question here. Are you guys still continuing your other businesses or are you?
No, solely? I had to step away. Now, actually, there is a state statute that as a commissioner, it's one of the few jobs that political jobs in the state that you can't have a side job, a for-profit job. You can volunteer all you want, but you can't have an income coming in from another job.
Oh, really?
So.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
that must be why they pay you so much.
Yeah, trust me. It was a huge pay cut to take the job. I'm not doing it for the money.
You are serving.
And it is. It's a service position. We get paid and we get paid well, but it's definitely a service position.
So, Dan, Ian, Jeff, do you have a general philosophy that you're going to apply to the job?
Yeah, I'm going to try to survive. No, I started hanging out around the county office. Once I got through the primary and knew I didn't have an opponent for the most part in the fall, I started hanging out at the county office, and it gave me some insight as to some of the things that really needed to be improved upon. My favorite saying is if the county was run like a business, it would be out of business. And so I'm looking at kind of the nuts and bolts side of it right now, looking at efficiency, where we can cut some costs, Vehicles are a big deal. We have 290 on-road vehicles for the county that are licensed and insured. A lot of them don't get driven every day. So I've been working with some of the guys on our staff, some of the people on our staff, and we're coming up with some good ideas on how to eliminate some of those vehicles, which would thereby eliminate a lot of the cost.
Because all of them have to be insured.
Licensed and insured.
Yeah, and kept up.
And I don't want to pick on anybody, and I've already talked to the assessor about it, but the assessors, for instance, use vehicles 6 months out of the year, and then they sit for 6 months. So we found a short-term lease program that it'll actually save the county money by just leasing every year and turning them back in at the end of their season. So we've got that we're working on. It's one of the things we're kind of working on. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we talked about open meeting laws before we started, and this is something we can talk about because it's in process, but it's not going to come before us. It's not a bigger decision that we have to worry about, but we have to be careful having two commissioners in the same room open meeting law.
That's right. You actually have a quorum, but I'd say this is pretty open.
If we had a clerk here, we could get away with it.
Yeah. Well, no, we're not trying to get away with anything. They're talking about any decisions.
That's okay.
Made here today.
No, we're not making any decisions.
Same question to you, Jeff. Do you have a kind of underlying general philosophy that we'll see reflected in your decision making?
I think that what I want to see more of, and I've said it all through my campaign, is that just to reconnect with the people and to try to bring them back into the governing of the Bonner County, because I think that it tends to get away from that. You tend to there's three people, they're making the decisions, mm-hmm. and it's just bang, 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 and it's over. I think that disenfranchises a lot of people that say, well, we don't really have a say. So I think I'm reaching back out to people that probably have become angry with the situation or the way they've been treated or they feel they've been treated, and I'm trying to restore some of that trust and some of those things that we can get together and work together to accomplish things. And I've been working a lot on just some little things that I saw, you know, like plowing of a snowmobile parking lot that hasn't been done. Why hasn't that been done? So just researching all those little types of things, and why are we paying streetlights for Idaho Hill, and why are we doing, you know, there's just all kinds mm-hmm. of little niches that you could just start looking at and say, how can we make this work a little better for the county?
And amazingly enough, we've only been on 2 weeks, and this will be our third day. But we've already had a number of, I mean, my philosophy as well is government of the people. We've already had a number, I know we're going to talk about the Sele Valley thing, but that's another step in bringing people into the conversation and not just saying, hey, we're the commissioners, we're making the decisions, we'll let you know what we decide. Mm-hmm. That's not our philosophy at all. We don't have that authoritarian attitude about us. We want the county to be directed by the people of the county.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure prior to your January 9th, swearing in to be county commissioners, you had kind of an idea of what you were getting into. But since then, you've spent a lot of time and anticipation. Were there any surprises? And is it more or less or bigger or smaller than you ever could imagine?
I had been hanging out for quite some time. In fact, the last 3 months, I'd been there almost every day. And Carrie Kelly was great about passing the carryover things along to me.
Former commissioner, yeah.
Former commissioner. However, Jeff, and I'm sure Jeff will agree, we didn't understand the depth and the breadth of some of the other things that were going on that we didn't know about. And so we're starting to find those things out now. So,
yeah, I think that what Dan's saying is absolutely right. The nooks and crannies, the little things that the commissioners are doing that I didn't understand. I won't speak for Dan, but it becomes quite clear that this thing is much huger than you really can imagine. Once you sit down and the stuff starts pouring in through the front door, I won't say I was totally intimidated, but I was a little surprised at what was coming at you. But, you know, both of our personalities are similar to, like, hey, let's here it is, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out and let's solve it. So
yeah, by the second day I was going, man, I hope it gets busier than this, because I'm kind of getting bored sitting in my office. By the fourth day, it was, oh my gosh, how am I going to get all this done in a day?
Yeah. Comes with the territory.
The honeymoon was over real quick.
Well, real quick.
We have quite a bit of fun. Dan and I have similar personalities as far as jokesters and stuff, so we try to lighten it up a little
bit. Oh, yeah.
So you already touched on this a bit, Jeff, but one of the consistent complaints is transparency and communicating, people not knowing what the commissioners are working on. And even though, as a big newspaper reader myself and staying on top of things, I can see that, yeah, things have been publicized. There still seems to be a disconnect in communicating with constituents. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, is that an issue for you to try to figure out a way to inform people better about what issues you are working on or what decisions are coming before you?
Yeah, I think it is an issue. No matter how much advertising you do, no matter how much you reach out to try to get people involved, it seems like there's always somebody that didn't get the message and is upset that they weren't involved or weren't told about it. But I think that we both have good connections with a lot of people. And I think that by going out and actually connecting with people and having them just give you a call and say, well, what's going on? Mm-hmm. We still have a few that are out there trying to maybe agitate the situation. But I think that we're going to conquer that because yeah. I think that we show day to day that that's not the case. We want you involved, and we're going to continue to preach that. So
yeah, one of the things I ran on was trying to have regular meetings in the community, in the different communities, because you can't say I want to meet with the people of Bonner County and have a meeting in Sandpoint. You got to have a meeting in Clarkport. You have to have a meeting in Priest River. You have to have one in Blanchard. And amazingly enough, there's been meetings that have already taken place that I've been involved in, and Jeff's been involved in, that's given us a little bit of that outreach. And I agree that we can't hit everybody, but we're going to make our best effort. The radio show for me is going to help, because I'll be able to use a portion of that to get the word out to the segment, the five people that listen to our show. And I'm just kidding. One of my people. But that's one method. Certainly the press is another method. Both Jeff and I are huge on transparency. We ran into a situation where some of the boards were kind of had this inside baseball thing going on that, you know, we have two people going off, but we already have two people on the side here we want to have on. And we were both really insistent upon, listen, no, you're going to advertise it. We're going to take applications from whoever it might be interested. So we get rid of that kind of inside baseball attitude.
Yeah, it's interesting. You brought up your radio show, and I wonder mm-hmm. how the dynamic of your radio show might change as it becomes an opportunity for people to call you up and cuss you out about some decision.
Sure. I enjoy it when people call me up and cuss me out. No, actually, I don't mind it. In fact, I keep telling people, call me. You know, in fact, the other night I said at the last Sully Valley meeting, I said, listen, here's my card. You can call me in the office. You can email me. You can come into my office whenever you want. Or if you want, I'll come to you. Say, hey, listen, I've got some concerns. Will you stop by? And I don't want to speak for Jeff, but that's kind of our attitude, is we want to go over and above to make sure that people know that we want to hear them. And that's anybody. I don't care whether you agree with me politically or not. I want to hear everybody, because there's always a good idea out there that we probably haven't thought of yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we have a situation from the national level right down to the local level where the country's pretty polarized and divided.
Oh, boy.
So you're going to hear from both sides and probably pretty strenuously on different issues. How are you going to reconcile that? And also, I'd be interested in your ideas of anything we can do to heal these divisions or at least patch them up a little bit.
Well, I've got a silver dollar, and what I do is I flip it. No. Well, in fact,
it's not heads both sides.
It is heads both sides, unfortunately. But no, that's one of the things I've been talking about in the radio show over the last probably couple of months, is that I recognize the polarization. And I think what happens is you have extreme versions on each side that tend to talk past each other instead of talking to each other. So I think part of our role is also to be the kind of the moderator in the middle, regardless of how we believe politically. We have to get everybody at the table and say, okay, listen, I recognize that this is your concern, and I recognize on this side this is your concern, but let's find out what you have in common. If we start working on what we all agree on, not what we all disagree on, I think that'll start the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, I agree exactly with Dan. The focus on the things that you can get consensus on, build on that, and then once you build the trust, I think that you have way more success, because then you're not looking over your shoulder all the time and distrusting the people you're working with. But I really, in my opinion, we're in Bonner County. It's too bad that politics play a role in this. Mm-hmm. I really feel that we're not big enough to be split or polarized by politics, but yet we are. To me, I think leave your politics at home. let's just get together and make this work, because in the end of the day, we all want to live here. We all want it a certain way. And it really doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a far right or far left. Let's just forget that. Leave it at home.
And I think if people endeavor to speak to those or have conversations with people they don't agree with, because really the only way to test your personal ideology is to have it tested by someone that doesn't agree with you. And what I see on both, I've got liberal friends that can't believe that I talk to conservatives. I've got conservative friends that can't believe I talk to liberals. And I'm like, seriously, they're just like you and me. Mm-hmm. Two eyes, you know, two ears. They just might differ on some opinions. Talk to them.
It seems like the county government really is looking at, as you say, our citizens' needs, direct needs in the moment, land use, things like that. So it really doesn't have to have the left and right or the Democrat Republican attitude to it.
Right.
If in fact the leaders, you guys, hold that in a certain way. So it sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Well, but there are, and if you look at planning and zoning, for instance, there are philosophical differences there that we need to be able to talk about. You know, what is private property rights? What's the good for the community aspect of it? And so it's a tough one to wade into. And planning zoning is probably the most difficult thing we'll deal with as commissioners. I at least at this point that I think, because there are some real divisions with respect to, you know, where does the line stop on private property rights?
Well, that's probably a good segue into a question I have, and kind of turning to some of the issues that you guys might be dealing with here in the next 2 to 4 years. And of course, the big one really is the subdivision ordinance, because there's changes underway to the current county subdivision ordinance. The changes, I understand it, is that currently there are short plat and subdivision categories, but there's going to be a new category called the minor land division that allows for property divisions into four or fewer lots.
Smaller lots passed before we got on. So that's a done deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the status right now of revisiting the subdivision ordinance?
Really, our focus has changed a bit because our planning department has recognized odd types of growth in specific, I like to call them appellations in the county or regions in the county. So we have the comprehensive plan that is a one-size-fits-all plan. However, it doesn't drill down to specific areas. For instance, last night we had a meeting in Sagal. The night before we had a meeting, last week we had a meeting in Selly Valley. And what we're really pushing more towards now is to look at each region and say, okay, what do the people in this region want? What's the right type of zoning or comprehensive plan for that region? And it's going to branch out to Blanchard and to Priest River as well. But try to get input from the people that actually live in the area. You know, what do you want to see? Because the comprehensive plan, while it sounded grandiose and great, there were a lot of big holes in it. So you have 20-acre minimum parcels right across the street from 5-acre minimum parcels. And if someone has 100 acres and they want to split it up into 5 acres, all the neighbors can protest. But legally, there's nothing the county can do about it because it's zoned that way. So we need to take another look at how we've zoned or how this county was zoned by region specifically, because Sagal's interests and needs are completely different than Selly Valley's. I'm sure we'll see the same thing in Priest River and Blanchard as well.
Yeah, and it's a sub-comp plan. So what they're going to do is they're going to take the comp plan, which was devised in 2008, I think.
And then 12, ratified in 12.
Yeah, and they're going to break it down into sub. So that means that if you live in Blanchard, per se, you will have your own little sub-comp plan. Now, it might be that people don't want that change, and that's a conversation also. Just leave it, then fine. If you're happy with it the way it is, and that may be what Selly Valley was getting at, but I think that once they see it, I was a little bit against or not sure of how to take this at first, because I thought, oh man, you're just going to explode this into something you can't take care of. You know, you're going to have a comp plan and you're going to have 6 to 7 sub-comp plans. How are you going to manage that? But once I listened to Milton and his ideas, I think that, who's our planner, I think that it makes perfect sense. So like Priest Lake, who is as far from Sandpoint as you can probably get, Blanchard, these areas, that they will be able to weigh in and have their own comp plan or sub-comp plan. So it affects them, so they'll stay engaged. I think we have a problem with a lot of the meetings being like in Sandpoint. It's hard for people from Priest Lake to come participate in something like that. And they tend to get disenfranchised and don't participate. So I think if they have some ownership in it, I think this is a great idea myself.
And I want to kind of correct the record, if you don't mind. There's been a lot of bad propaganda going around about what the county's planning on doing. And this may sound odd, but we're not planning on doing anything. We're just looking for input right now. There was a rumor going around that we were going to rezone the entire Sully Valley to 2.5 acre minimum, which is not something we did. And the people spreading that rumor went so far as to develop a map that showed the entire Sully Valley broken down to 2.5 acres. We are absolutely not doing that. None of these things you're hearing about are true. We tried to go to a small group meetings at the last meeting, and there were a group of radical people in there saying, you're trying to destroy our voice and separate our voice. What we realized at the first meeting was there's a lot of people that aren't comfortable talking in a big room. And they came up to us afterwards and said, can we do it in smaller groups so that I feel like I can be heard and I can speak. And so that's what we did. So we're really battling misinformation.
There's a lot of dimensions to this subject, and we want to continue with that. I want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and our guests today are newly appointed and elected county commissioners Jeff Conley and Dan McDonald, and we're talking about all things county. So we'll continue on with the ordinance and the ordinances for the subdivision ordinance.
So how many sub areas are there?
Right now we're looking at four. There's Sully Valley, the greater Sully Valley area. There's a Sagal area, which is pretty much everything south of the bridge. On the east side, there's Blanchard, and then there'll be the Priest River, Priest Lake area.
And so what will the process be for the residents in those areas to give you feedback? You're having meetings in each of those areas?
Yeah, and right now, all we've been doing is going out saying, listen, we want to know what you want. What do you see? What's important to you while recognizing infrastructure limitations, water, you know, that type of thing. So we're really just trying to get feedback as to how the people that live in those areas see those areas. And from that, we can start going, okay, so do you like this better than this, or should we do something different? It's going to be a long process. We're purposely not trying to rush this because we don't have an agenda with regard to this. We've just seen some growth that has been abnormal as far as where it's taking place. And we want to make sure that the people in those areas recognize that and are prepared to have a plan or create a plan, because in the absence of a plan, a plan will happen anyway. And what's come out of the Sully meeting that's been interesting is that unless they live right next to one of these new little subdivisions that's gone in that has been completely legal, they think everything's fine. And I have to tell them, no, go down here, go over there. And the people, of course, that live right next to them have a completely different opinion. The problem we're always going to run into is we realize right away that we're not going to please everybody. So we're going to try to find the best middle ground approach.
And in Sully, were you getting feedback that people want to maintain the rural character?
Absolutely.
Which would mean larger lot sizes, basically.
Right. And the current comp plan, actually, if you look at Sully Valley, it's a patchwork of 20 acre and 5 acre and 10 acre. And it doesn't make a lot of sense when you step back and look at it. And part of it was because different factions control different areas and decided, well, I want the area that I live in to be only 20 acre minimum. Well, I want to be able to divide my land. So this area is going to be this. And so I think we need to look at a little bit broader picture and get input from as many people as we can. And we've had anywhere from 80 to 100 people at the meetings, which is great. However, there's probably about 9,000 or 10,000 people that live in the Sully Valley area. So it's really a small sampling, and we're trying to do our best to reach out to everyone. So we're talking about now maybe putting out an open-ended survey to people. We also, our planning and zoning department also has their own Facebook site. And of course, we have the webpage. We're doing our best to try to collect as much information as possible.
And Jeff, a Priest Lake area, that's your home turf. What are you hearing up there? Are they favoring the rural character, larger lot size, or more density?
They've started with just these two, Sagal and Sully. So there is no input at this time, but I've already been out and saying that this is coming your way. Be prepared to get involved and stay involved. And I think that we just need a broader spectrum of trying to manage it, not just, hey, we all like Priest Lake as large 20-acre plots. and stuff like that. I think you need to be more open to, you know, business areas, and because I mean they already have that, so you need to capitalize and improve on what's there. Mm-hmm. And same with, if you look at Sagal, you know along the highway, they've kind of got I don't want to offend anybody, but it's kind of a hodgepodge of different ideas and different things going on. So everybody come together and try to come up with something, you know, that's going to work for everybody in that general vicinity. And I think we already heard some good ideas. I didn't get mm-hmm. to go to that meeting last night because I was at an airport meeting in Priest River, but I don't know what came out of it last night. But that group was working towards coming up with some different ideas for growth and growth management. Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's more than just individuals' wants and needs. There's the infrastructure and resources that can dictate what kind of subdivisions can go mm-hmm. in. Can it be 5 acres? Do we have enough water and right. roads and this and that? Or is 20 acres all we can, that particular area can support?
Well, and that's the interesting side of this, which is why it makes more sense to break these areas down by appellation as opposed to saying, okay, here's this one size fits all. Because Sagal's got, of course, the highway going right through there. So they've got a great deal of infrastructure and very few limitations.
There's a commercial corridor right. that's already been, the free market's already started to yep. develop.
But yeah. you go to Selly Valley and there's limitations on infrastructure with respect to roads. There's limitations on water. There's a couple of different water districts up there and they will tell you right away that, listen, we only have so much water. And it's, again, one of the things that's driving this, you know, we're seeing development. Is this a development we want to see? Let's take a real close look at, you know, what our limitations are infrastructure-wise, overall infrastructure-wise, and how we want the valley to look. There's a strong group of folks that want to protect ag, and I'm one of those. I'm a big ag guy. I think that we need to protect a lot of this ground for agriculture. But at the same respect, if you've got, 20 acres and you want to give it to your kids, you have 4 kids, we need to figure out a way to accommodate that as well. So it's a big issue that's mm-hmm. not going to be solved immediately.
The one thing I'd like to add to that is, for everybody out there, you think you know where how you're zoned, but please get familiar with what's already in place, because I think a lot of people would be shocked that they're already in an area that say the neighbor that owns 500 acres could divide it into fives mm-hmm. or tens or whatever the situation may be. That's already there. So if it sometimes will be a good idea to get involved to say, hey, well, maybe we can do these larger concentrations and then leave some open space rather than to just have 5 acre squares mm-hmm. all through this 500 acres mm-hmm. because the zoning is in place. You'd be shocked at what's already out mm-hmm. there.
So. Well, and this is a good opportunity for us to promote on the county website. There's a GIS mapping program and it's a great resource. Because you can go in there and you can overlay, like, shade in all the federal lands, shade in all the state lands, shade in all the commercial timber lands, shade in all the conservation easements. And you can also put zoning on there. Okay, show us the zoning. And this map's fantastic because you can look at the much bigger picture. Protecting rural nature is important. However, when you start to look at it, we've got about 13 to 15% of the ground in Bonner County that's all there is to develop. Because everything else is already protected by the feds, by the state, by conservation easements and commercial timber. So it changes the way you start looking at things, and especially with respect to protecting rural nature. And everybody's mm-hmm. definition of rural nature is different.
This is one area that I might take a chance to disagree with Dan a little bit, and we've had these discussions before, but a lot of those areas are concentrated. So to say that, yeah, it's 16% or it's 20%, that's great, but you know, like a whole bunch of it's in the Priest Lake drainage and over mm-hmm. towards the Lake Monterey.
The whole east side of the valley, yeah. And then you take the lake out as well.
So there's huge concentrations of those public lands. And so that gives you a picture, but not necessarily a clear picture.
Yeah, and it's good to look at the map. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is.
And that's at what website?
That's at the Bonner County. It's the Bonner County website. And then look for the GIS mapping tab.
Okay. It's going to be probably one of the biggest issues you guys deal with. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of different points of view on it. I actually live west of town, but I live in an area that's zoned for 5 acre lots. Mm-hmm. But I bought my property in a subdivision that has CC&Rs that says you can't go smaller than 20 acres. The owners signed off on that when they bought the property. And there were actually some folks that bought there because they liked that.
Sure.
It'd keep the neighbors at bay, if you will. I love your neighbors, but not too many of them, right?
Just don't love them too close.
Yeah, too nearby. And so that reflected, you know, that development's idea on how they were going to market those lots. But I think it also reflects the idea that some people do want to be in rural areas by intent. And I think, you know, the point you brought up, Jeff, that people should be aware of the property, how it's zoned when they buy it, because they could be in for a surprise.
Well, and I'll give you another interesting example that came out of the last Selly meeting. So everybody was, yeah, we want bigger property size, bigger zoning size of 20 acres, 10 acres, da, 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 da. And then afterwards, I had 40 different people that came up to me and said, I am all for, except, you know, my property, where it is, or I've got 30 acres and I have 4 kids and I'm in a 10-acre minimum. I want to leave the property to each one of my, split it up and leave it to my kids. So these are some of the hurdles. It's in the bigger context, everybody goes, yay. And then in the smaller context, more personalized context, suddenly it becomes, well, except for me. So.
Yeah, no question.
Which has always been the case.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that no matter where you go.
And we'll remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, the morning show with Chris and Susie. And we're speaking today with our brand new county commissioners, Jeff Connolly and Dan McDonald, who have now been on the job for 2 weeks and 3 days.
This is our third day.
And in that period of time, let's turn to a different issue because roads are always a big one. And what's your take on how the county's handling road maintenance, road repair, road, the plan for road construction?
I was going to say I'm all for roads. No, that's the political answer. You know, we've got a relatively new head of road and bridge, and I really like him. In fact, one of the things I will say about all the people I've met in the county offices to date, I haven't found one that doesn't understand that they're there to serve the people of the county and they're there to do the very best job they possibly can. Can we improve? Absolutely. That's one of the reasons Jeff and I ran. As far as road maintenance goes, we're taking a hard look at that. The problem is it always gets down to how much money do we actually have. Now, the county does aggressively go after grants, and there are a number of grants specifically for roads. In fact, there's a number of grants just for crush. I never realized how big crushed rock was. But we get, you know, $100,000 grants for crushed rock. So we're pursuing every single angle we can to try to get money in to continue to improve on what we've got as far as road bases. And we've got a mix. We've got, what, almost 700 miles of roadway that the county manages in the county. So it's a daunting task, but we have great folks. We have the three different road and bridge districts. All three supervisors are solid people, and they get it. They know what they're there for. And so do we have some problems every now and then? Sure. We take out some mailboxes when we snowplow. Unfortunately, it happens. But they're not shooting for them, although we do have an award for the most mailboxes taken out every month. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke, folks. That's just a joke.
That's a dangerous joke.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had mine taken out, so I can laugh about it. Yeah. But I think the intent is there, and we had Jeff and I both got a briefing from our road and bridge guy the other day about projects coming up for this year. So they aggressively go after it.
And what are some of those bigger projects that are right on the top of the agenda?
Let's see if my memory serves me. After being I was at a meeting until 9:30 last night and got up at 4:30 this morning. We're going to start working on Bottle Bay Road. So if you're familiar with Bottle Bay Road and how nasty it is, I have a Harley. My wife and I rode the Harley on it a couple years ago, and I was like, I'll never do this again. There is some ITD money coming in for the intersection to start with, and then we're looking at trying to resurface and take that big crown out. Eventually down the road, trying to widen it. Right now, it looks like a Navy missile test site if you go down Bottle Bay Road.
So you'd widen it on those portions that go along the lakeshore?
And that's a big ticket item. And I mean, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $6 million for that small, short section of road. However, it's got to be done.
I thought they were just doing a resurfacing on it.
For now, we are.
Okay.
They're gonna kind of tune the road up and do a resurface. But that road's narrow. And unfortunately, if you've been on it very many times, I've been on it a few times, the people tend to drive it like we're in a Le Mans race. So there's some steep drop-offs, and it's difficult. I mean, it really needs, as a public safety issue, it needs to be widened.
Mm-hmm. you know, it's also a popular bicycling route mm-hmm. that you can do out of Sandpoint. You can go Bottle Bay Road and then come back on Sagal Road. And the new surface area is a little rough for the mm-hmm. bicyclists.
Oh, it was rough for my Harley.
Yeah.
There was, when we rode it, there was sand on it. Plus, it's got that steep crown in the middle, so mm-hmm. you're constantly riding off camber. I mean, it was the toughest stretch of road I've ridden in probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
And what about in the Priest River and outlying areas? Is it just constant road maintenance?
Yeah. One thing I want to do is stress what a great job our guys have been doing. It's been a challenging winter because it's been nonstop. I mean, they've had frozen roads for 2 months now. So it's been a challenge, and I think they've done a great job. Now, they continue to focus on getting sand and getting plowed where they need to. I've lived here all my life, so it's easy for me to look and reflect back on what our roads were 50 years ago. Our roads are spectacular compared to what they have been in the mm-hmm. past, and they continue to get better. Mm-hmm. We are crushed rock, building up these roads so that they don't get muddy during spring. Every year in the District 2 for sure, and I know the other districts are also, it's challenging. There's not enough money to do them all, but they have hit a lot of roads and they have made a huge difference. One thing I never did say when I was running was that I think we can do better at the road department because I thought we were doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a good job. Mm-hmm. We can continue to try to do what they've support them and what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up an interesting point, Jeff. Folks that are newer here and been here 30 years may not realize how far the roads have come in that period of time.
Well, and I live out off Sunnyside Road, and, mm-hmm. and they redid that road 5 years ago. And before that, I'd have to put shocks on every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would literally go through a set of shocks just driving to and from work.
Yeah, they're roads you could get stuck on in mud season that have come a long way.
Bear Paw every year was maybe a four-wheel drive chance if you were fortunate. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to run out of time here in a minute, and I wanted to touch on a couple other issues that you guys are at least somewhat involved with. One is Scotchman Peaks, mm-hmm. The proposed wilderness. There was a community meeting there recently, a week and a half ago, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the county commissioners did make an official resolution that they supported the wilderness.
Right.
Yeah, are you guys still on board with that?
I'm mixed. And I'll tell you why. When I look at the overall depth and breadth of the project, it seems a bit too big to me. I attended a meeting before that meeting with a bunch of folks in Clark Fork and listened to their concerns. There had never been a public meeting there. They'd all been in Sandpoint. This is, again, another problem. And they have specific concerns, not just about that area, but the entire drainage,
Lightning Creek
drainage. Yeah. I think there's a compromise position where the Scotchman's Peak people can get what they want for the most part, and the local residents can get what they want. And I'm already promoting that to Senator Risch, that it shouldn't be one way or the other. We need to find a compromise position, and I think we've come up with a good idea.
Are you talking about the boundaries of the proposed area?
The boundaries of the proposed area, yeah.
Because my understanding is that boundaries don't take in any portion of Lightning Creek Road.
No, they stop 300 feet from. But for instance, a gentleman that lives right near one of the proposed boundaries hunts every year. He's an old guy. He uses a wheeled cart to pull his animal out of the woods. If this gets designated wilderness area, he can't use the wheeled cart anymore. There's a lot of things that can't happen. The other problem I have is with the forever part of wilderness area. It is forever. It can never be changed. What other part of our government has that kind of a clause
be changed by an act of Congress?
Well, the problem is when you listen, if you were at the meeting, they were very specific about, yes, it can never be changed. Hmm. In fact, one of the previous commissioners spoke the fact that it would be this way forever. And that suddenly piqued my interest.
Well, I think that's a bit of hyperbole, though, because a Congress makes it wilderness, they could take the wilderness away. Of course, they don't do that. They haven't done it in practice, but the Wilderness Act's only been around since the 60s. So.
I think the Wilderness Act needs to be tweaked a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the health of the forest. That's our big thing. Our property's all in forest. And it means that you can't, if you have a massive blowdown up there, it's going to lay there and rot. The game don't like it. It's really not good. It's going to promote a situation, and Jeff's much more adept in forestry than I am, but to where we have too much fuel, too much of a fuel load, And of course, there's people out there that like want to let it burn and others that want to manage it. I'm a management guy.
Mixed feelings. Jeff, what's your idea on the Scotchman Peaks
Wilderness? Oh, this is a great one. I love this. But personally, I support the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. But from a county standpoint, I'm not there either way yet, because you still have to look at what the people want. So from that standpoint, for me to commit and say if the county put that in front of us, which way I would go, I don't think I have the answer. But I do have some background in this, because I've been on the Panhandle Forest Collaborative for 6.5 years since its inception. And one of the things is, you know, wilderness is part of the collaboration process. I've worked with Phil for a long time, actually consider him a friend. Probably
Phil
not
Huff,
right.
Director yeah, of the Scotchman Peaks.
Probably not right off Friends the bat, but Peaks, at this point, I think we're there. And I trust him. I trust his judgment. And do I think there can be some tweaks? I absolutely do. And I think there's specialized paragraphs in these wilderness areas that can be, I mean, why wouldn't you use a hand cart for a game? That to me is a, shouldn't even be a sticking point. Mm-hmm. It's not, I can understand bicycle or wheeled traffic, what they're trying to do. The 300-foot to Lightning Creek, I don't like that. I think they could push that buffer back a little bit, because that really restricts anything right there close to that road. And I mean, when you think of a wilderness area, I don't think anybody thinks of 300 feet from a road. But on the other hand, I think there's small tweaks that could be done. I don't think that it's a large tweak, but I also heard the people in Clark Fork. I was there that night too, and I heard the people in the surrounding areas, and I don't think they've been heard too much to this point, and they need to be heard. And then from there, you just try to do the best you can. But I think that in the collaboration efforts, I think that we've supported the Scotchman's Peak, and I will continue to do that personally.
Squeeze in one more. Probably needs to be a short one.
Yeah.
Big story in Sunday's Bee on the Rock Creek Mine. The fact that this decision to permit a mine up there is very much in play right now. And this, of course, is in Montana, but it's upstream of Lake Ponderay. And there are some very serious concerns about potential for mine waste polluting the lake. Your take on the Rock Creek Mine, please.
I'm concerned about mine waste as well. I know that some of the work they've already done there in mining, they've been monitoring the outtake, and it's been actually cleaner than the Clark Fork. Because the Clark Fork has it every spring, you get a lot of heavy metals, a lot of stuff that comes down the river as it is. So as long as they can maintain a level equal to the conditions of the Clark Fork or better, I'm fine with it. Because I like my cell phone, I like the microphone I'm talking into. All those things come from mining. The car I drove in, that all comes from mining as well. The minute they step outside the bounds, then they need to be whacked.
I believe that that the amount of hoops that they've been jumping through, I think the protection will be there. And I think that they do need to move forward. And I do believe that, obviously, I do not want to see any damage come to the Clark Fork or the Ponderay Lake. I mean, that's not part of the equation at all. But I do believe that in place, there is the rules to make this thing work. And I believe that Hecla would be a greater partner than, say, some out-of-state, out-of-country mining company. I do believe this is going to be mined. And I do believe, and I said it at the last Sandpoint forum, that it would be a good chance for the local people to work with Hecla, because those people live in the community. They're not from outside the community. I think there's a good chance to see some collaboration.
And we're just about out of time. I know you guys got actually county business to take care of.
We have a job we have to actually go to.
Your day job starts shortly.
And so we want to really thank you for coming in, and we hope you can come in here quarterly and give us updates on how the county's doing. And
call us anytime you want to do something. We're always happy to come in.
Okay,
we're going to go out with us. Did you have something else to say, Chris?
Well, real quick, how can people, when are your meetings and that people can come and take part in the whole process?
Business meetings are every Tuesday. They're relatively boring because we're just dealing with paying bills mostly. Sometimes there's some other things. Typically, if it's something big, we're going to have a hearing and that'll be announced. But call us anytime. Email us anytime. Come in anytime. The girls up front are friendly. So are Jeff and I. We're happy to see you.
Yeah, I'll ditto that.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much. We're going to be right back after this song while the fellas leave and go to their meeting. This is Iris DeMent, Our Town. We'll be right back. Stay with us for the KRFY Morning Show. And that was Iris DeMent, Our Town. And we're here live in the KRFY studios for the KRFY Wednesday edition of the Morning Show. And we're Chris and Susie. When we're by ourselves now, so what do you got going on over there in the community calendar?
We just had a good talk with the two new county commissioners, Dan McDonald and Jeff Connolly. Thanks for coming in to those guys. And, of course, there's a lot going on in Sandpoint, Idaho, our hometown. Tonight, there is a bike movie night at Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repair. That's at 108 North 3rd Avenue. It's free. It's at 6 p.m. Just show up. And if you're a bike enthusiast, you'll have some really fun flicks to watch.
Well, that sounds like fun. I'm going to buy a new bike this year. A walk-through or step-through, I think they're
called. A step-through bike. Like a cruiser bike
for around town. A cruiser bike for around town.
Yeah,
but I want gears. I want like at least three.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
They definitely help on the hills. You want gears. Although there are some people that just go with a single... sprocket bikes, and they like those too. And let's see, also coming up on tomorrow, on Thursday, the Sandpoint Weavers are having an art opening, and that's at Idaho Poor Authority. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. Idaho Poor Authority is at 203 Cedar Street. So you can enjoy complimentary appetizers and the unique local art that's going to be on display and for sale. Also tomorrow, there is a Woodland Empire Ale release party that's also at Idaho Poor Authority. And this is going to be going from 5 to 7 p.m. concurrent with the Weaver's Art opening.
Well, I've been waiting for that release of that particular brewery.
Why is that?
No, I'm just joking. I just think that it's so interesting how many microbreweries there are in our area or in this part, everywhere around the country, and then they have releases of their special beer.
It's almost like making wine now, the crafting that goes into these in these brews. I'm not even familiar with the Woodland Empire Ale Craft Brewing Company. So
nice name.
It would be fun to go enjoy their some of their brew and see how it tastes. Also coming up just tomorrow, the 26, is the Hope is having a Cyberbully movie event, and this is going to be 5:30 p.m. at the Panda Theater, 300 North 1st Avenue, and this is put on by a group called 7B Hope, which is volunteers who provide an opportunity for awareness on what's going on in our town. That is, again, at the Panda.
And, you know, we have about 1 minute left. I wanted to just let our listeners know what's coming up on the KRFY Morning Show tomorrow. That's Jack Peterson and Carrie Logan. Their guest will be Rich Cretel. He's with the Coast Guard Auxiliary and talking about boating safety classes that are coming up. Then next Tuesday, Phil Huff and Julie Calamine, their guests will be Phil Cooper from the Fish and Game with an update on that organization. And then our guest next Wednesday will be the Idaho School Counselor of the Year and new best friend with Michelle Obama, Geraldine Meir.
Yeah, new best friend with Michelle Obama because she was at an event in Washington, D.C. about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And actually, Michelle was giving a speech, and there was Geraldine right over her shoulder. So it was kind of neat to see.
She's famous.
She's famous. She is. And, of course, there's a ton of other things going on around our town. You can catch the whole calendar at KRFY.org or SandpointOnline.com. Sandpoint Online provides the calendar. I will mention that don't forget to check the civic calendar as well as the entertainment calendar on either of those websites, because not only are there a ton of entertainment events going on in this next week, there's, I'm looking at it right now, there's probably 25 civic events happening. Everything from workshops and classes to an obedience dog training, a legislative town hall with Sage Dixon, ton more.
We have so much going on, and we're really happy that you've tuned in to 88.5 KRFY for the morning show today. And stay with us all day for Otto's Eclectic Mix. We're going to go out with a song by Etta James. It's called At Last. And the reason we're doing this song is she was born on this day in 1938.
And she played in Sandpoint at the festival a few years back.
And this is a really great song. This is Etta James, At Last. We hope you have an absolutely wonderful day.
Bye now.